The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good evening. It is 11 minutes after the hour of 6 p.m. on this Friday, the 2nd of October, 2020. My name is Sam, and you are listening to the thrice-weekly daily briefing. It's not daily. It's three times a week, but it used to be daily, so that's where we came up with the name, because we couldn't think of anything more creative. How are you, Becky?
I'm doing well, Sam. I'm enjoying, actually, this start to the month of October. We know that October in Tacoma means Arts Month, and we are midway through Hispanic Heritage Month, and there's lots of fun things to do because of that.
Okay.
Even in this virtual, socially distanced environment.
Well, I am working on the... I don't think we've mentioned this in the daily briefing yet. I am in the middle of working on the actual, really real, not makeshift KTQA studio in the middle of Hilltop, Tacoma.
Man, I have been teasing that for so long with brought to you by Becky in the temporary mobile studio of KTQA. There are some big announcements on the horizon.
Yeah, and so that's part of the reason why you haven't been hearing from me in the last week or so, is I've been busy in the other studio, getting it ready for use, getting internet there, wiring up systems, just doing what you need to do in order to make a studio go. And part of the reason I'm able to announce it now is that we are documenting the whole thing on YouTube. I started a YouTube channel. Right now, there aren't any videos on it because I'm giving the folks who... I have a Patreon, and I'm giving my patrons a couple days to watch it before I release it generally, because I think that's the done thing. But
that is how it's done, Sam.
Yeah, maybe, but we might talk about that a little bit more detail later on. But yeah, hopefully by the end of the year, KTQA will have a fully operational studio available, not just for you and me, but for everyone.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But in the meantime...
Shall we get to today's updates?
Yes. Okay. As always, state-level updates and information on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 always gets you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line, assuming that you're dialing from Tacoma. The state's coronavirus Q&A line is staffed 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 1-800-525-0127. And for interpreters in other languages, you can press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also text the coronavirus Q&A line at 211-211 in any language, and dialing 211 connects you to community resources statewide through the United Way. You can also visit wa211.org online. The Washington Listens support line is available 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekends to help Washingtonians cope with pandemic-related stress as a free service for those who are not in crisis but need an outlet to manage that stress. And the number for Washington Listens is 1-833-681-0211. Influenza vaccines are now widely available at pharmacies and clinics. Go to knockoutflu.org to find a vaccination location.
Moving on to state-level updates, public school students whose families are low-income and did not have internet access before August 2020 are eligible for a state-funded program to get free internet for the remainder of the 2020-21 school year from one of three contracted service providers. Potentially eligible families should be receiving information, including a promo offer code from a provider, from their local school districts. Families may also contact their district to request information. Job search requirements for those collecting state unemployment benefits will remain suspended through November 9th. The soonest claimants may be required to actively seek work is November 15th. Until then, or until the requirement is reinstated, claimants can continue to answer no on the job search question on weekly claims. The Washington State Departments of Commerce and Agriculture will be offering grants up to $5,000 to shellfish growers severely impacted by COVID-19. Applicants can be found online at impactwashington.org or can call 425-287-6808 or see the media section of commerce.wa.gov for more information. The Washington State Department of Health will be distributing the first batch of rapid COVID-19 test kits to community health centers, tribal clinics, and critical access hospitals. The tests provide results in about 15 minutes and are approved for people with COVID-19 symptoms.
We've got some regional news. The Pierce College Science Dome. Oh, I don't say it nearly as fun as you do, Sam. The Pierce College Science Dome.
Science Dome!
Will be hosting Spooktober virtual night sky tours this month, every Thursday at 6 p.m. Astronomers and other observatory staff will present free 30 to 40 minute family friendly talks focused on an aspect of our night sky with real time telescope observations, weather permitting. You can find links to register at pierce.ctc.edu in the Science Dome section or on Facebook at Pierce College Science Dome. Latinos Unidos de South Sound, or LUS, will hold its fourth annual Latinx Festival coinciding with Hispanic Heritage Month virtually this year from October 5th through 10th. The festival will include artistic, musical, literary, and cultural performances and workshops from individuals of varied Central and South American regions, a community dialogue with local panelists exploring Afro-Latino identity in the Northwest, and an online art exhibition, and a resource fair including bilingual health information. Email latinxunidossound@gmail.com for more information or search for Latinx Unidos on Facebook and Twitter.
Moving on to Tacoma-specific information, the city of Tacoma will be hosting a virtual community meeting to discuss and answer questions about the location of a planned emergency micro-shelter site on Wednesday, October 7th at 6 p.m. The city plans to lease property at 6th Avenue and Orchard Street under the authority of the public health state of emergency on homelessness from late 2020 through mid-2023. Information on how to participate in the meeting via phone
or via Zoom can be found online at cityoftacoma.org/authorized encampments or by calling 253-591-5119 in advance of the meeting. And I'll continue with some of our Tacoma announcements. The Tacoma Pierce County Health Department has advised school districts, to pause on moving ahead with in-person schooling plans because of increasing rates of COVID-19 in our county. The Clover Park School District Board of Directors voted Friday to postpone in-person hybrid learning and to continue remote virtual learning until at least December 4th, and not to bring back young students to school for face-to-face learning in October, as had been announced previously. The Puyallup schools have also paused their plans to bring back lower grades for partial in-person schooling. Peninsula School District's kindergartners and first graders who have already begun in-person schooling may remain in their hybrid program, but other grade levels will remain fully remote. And some groups of special needs students in Tacoma will receive limited in-person schooling services, but all other student groups in the Tacoma schools will remain fully remote until further notice.
There are numerous free COVID-19 testing sites in our region. For King County locations, you can visit kingcounty.gov. For Pierce County locations, visit tpchd.org/COVID test. Next week's free pop-up testing events in Pierce County include the Norpoint Community Center and Fox Island Alliance Church on Saturday, October 3rd, Metro Parks Candle Park and the Buckley Fire Department on Tuesday, October 6th, Metro Parks Oakland Madrona Park, the Prairie Ridge Community Center on Wednesday, October 7th, Stewart Heights Park and UW Tacoma on Thursday, October 8th, TCC on Friday, October 9th. No ID is required and tests are free and open to anyone. Many testing events run all day from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., but check tpchd.org/COVID test for times. Community Healthcare, with locations in Tacoma, Spanaway, and Lakewood, is offering testing for COVID-19 even if you are not a community healthcare patient. You can call 253-722-2161 for a telehealth screening appointment.
Oh, welcome back, Sam. I'm glad that you were able to rejoin us.
Yeah, I needed to get some water.
Water's important, especially as we're having a little bit of here and there stagnation in our air. It's a lot better than it was several weeks ago, and we are grateful for that.
Yeah.
We're hoping that everyone is breathing easy.
I hope so. So, anything else? Is that it for the updates today?
That's it for today's updates going into the weekend. I'm certain that we'll have some more. I think it seems to be like we are at this time where things might start looking good and our numbers might be creeping down. And we got to keep an eye on them because our COVID-19 test rates, you know, start creeping up again. And I think that we might just have to ride that little wave for a little bit. And we ask for, I guess, patience from ourselves and everyone around us. And in the meantime, continue masking up, social distancing, washing hands.
It does seem to be the way of it right now where we start creeping down and everybody's like, you know, and I'm just as guilty of this as
we
anyone.
We get excited, don't we?
Yeah, I can go out again. And then I go out and the numbers pop up and like, well, okay, me and apparently several thousand other people felt the same way. So anyway, you can dial 311 for the City of Tacoma non-emergency information line. You can dial 211 for statewide community resources throughout the state. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. Now on to the interview.
My guest this evening is Aaron Sarvis. Aaron is the founder of The New Generation 2.0. It's a group of young-minded individuals dedicated to improving our community and fighting to end police brutality and using their voices to raise awareness of causes that affect African Americans. Welcome, Aaron.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us on KTQA Daily Briefing. When did you start this New Generation 2.0?
Well, hi. Thanks for having me. So we started the New Generation 2.0 in June, and that was after we attended a local protest in front of the courthouse, and that's how it kind of formed.
And what motivated you to do so? You said that you were at one of the courthouse protests.
What motivated me was the fact that police are not being held accountable to police brutality. And honestly, what really motivated me to get involved was a few years ago in Seattle, the police killed a woman named Charlena Lyles. They shot her in her home while she was pregnant in front of her children. And Charlena actually has a common niece with me. So that was something that actually directly affected somebody in my family, directly affected my sister and my brother-in-law. So that was something that was like pretty close to home to see their family go through that. That's kind of what got me involved.
That's definitely a very, very potent motivation for certain. What were some of the things that came out of starting New Generation 2.0 and from the summer protests?
So we have now gotten a lot of community support and built up, you know, just a sense of community. And we're in the process of taking the Buy the Black business to every single state. And we're also working on, you know, collecting funds for our youth center that we hope to have here in Tacoma.
Amazing. Okay, so you mentioned Buy the Black business. Tell us about Buy the Black business.
Yeah, so Buy the Black business is a local protest held by us to support buying from Black-owned businesses. It's really a protest to support what we have. It's called Buy Black July, which started in July, where we wanted to specifically buy some Black-owned businesses, but I couldn't find any Black-owned businesses in Tacoma. So I decided, well, hey, let's create a space where we can have those businesses come out. And that's kind of how it started. We're working on building up the Black wealth and building up the Black Wall Street. So this is kind of something that's kicked off that idea.
So that started back in June and July, sort of that nascent time of saying, well, how can we build the wealth and that capital of our individual African-Americans and Black folks within Tacoma? But then you said you want to take it to every state. That seems like quite an ambitious leap from starting in Tacoma to say, let's go to every state. What made you put that on your list for your ambitions rather than say, well, let's expand from Tacoma to maybe Fife and Federal Way or maybe down to Olympia?
So we consider, like, when we say the Buy the Black business for Tacoma, we're including every single city here, and that would be considered all of us. So we would expect business owners from Olympia, Seattle, Federal Way, Puyallup, all to come to the Tacoma one. So, to be honest, the community is what inspired me to take this idea and to keep running with it, because we just kept getting, from the first The first event, we wanted 35 vendors. We got over 100. So from that first event, we had people messaging, calling, saying, when's the next one? When's the next one? So we went ahead and did it again. And our goal was 200 vendors, and I believe we got 300, over 300 vendors. And now we're getting ready to do it again, and our goal was 300, but we have over 400 vendors. So it's really the sense of community saying, hey, this is a good idea. We want you to keep doing this. So I went to a March on Washington in D.C., and I told a lot of organizations and organizers about the Buy to Black business, and they love the idea. So we've been talking. I've been having conversations with a lot of people, and I think the first place we're going to take it is actually Portland, Oregon, and then Idaho. Those are the two groups coming up that we're training to show them how to do the Buy to Black business so that they can take it to their state. And we're actually creating a manual. That way there's a physical manual that each organization can take to their state, and we'll assist them. And the whole goal is to have them learn how to do it, and then we all do the Buy to Black business on the same day at the same time. So it's a mass protest across the board.
Now, Erin, you described this as a protest. What characterizes something like having vendors and a community coming together as a protest rather than, say, a festival?
So the reason why we're actually calling this a protest is because it affects directly to Black lives. So we want to improve Black lives. Buying Black is a protest. So that's the protest. It's called Buying Black. So you support, there was a nationwide day on July 7th where it was everybody in the nation, do not spend money anywhere else, but only spend it with the Black community. So that was the first day the protest kicked off. Then from there, I was like, well, why are we doing it one day? Why aren't we doing it every single day? So every single day in July, buy Black, you know, buy from a Black owned business. And then from there, why are we just stopping in July? Let's continue and go on and do this every day and every month. So that's kind of how it formed into the whole protest. And then just making it convenient for people to come, that's where the vendors come in, because it's like, well, now we just made it a shop where people have a way to buy from Black owned businesses to build the Black dollar, because you won't find these people on Amazon. You won't find these people on websites in Walmart. So it's like we physically have to go to them in order to buy from them. So I'd rather, you know, put them in a space where people could come and they have that opportunity to buy from them. So anytime we do the Buy to Black business, we actually do a full entertainment. We have a whole stage coming so that the performers can perform. So we start our show at 3:00 and they'll be on all day. We have unsigned artists that come out and they perform all the time. So if you guys need some talent, I definitely know where to find it.
Gotcha. Now, as part of New Generation 2.0, you say that you are using your voices to raise awareness of causes that affect African Americans. And we know from health departments and media that the COVID-19 pandemic has disproportionately affected non-white individuals, people of color, including African American folks. What are the pandemic concerns that you might be mitigating when you're saying, hey, come together as a protest, where we have this sort of balance between wanting to make sure that the pandemic is no longer disproportionately affecting folks of color?
So with the pandemic going on, of course, we all ask everyone to, you know, stay 6 feet, to have masks. But honestly, in the research that has been shown, there has not been a spike in COVID since we've done protests. There literally hasn't been no spike. And then another reason which made me kind of feel comfortable with continuing doing these mass protests was we went to the March on Washington, which had over, 300,000 people. In order to attend that protest, you had to be taken off of a hot spot or you would have to quarantine. Washington State is not on the hot spot. So that right there kind of just gave me the incentive that I personally felt that if we're not even on a hot list for other states, I think that we're pretty fine. And honestly, since I've done protests since June, I've not came in contact with one person that I know from my organization or in the community itself that has COVID. Not saying that it's not real. So we just been, you know, going on strong, you know, telling our folks not to be coming if they're sick and, you know, try to stay healthy.
I think there's a really important point that you bring up, that as a result of a lot of the summer protests where we had people gathering, there wasn't a measurable spike in many of the communities that could be attributed to those kinds of gatherings. And so I was really psyched to see that y'all say, you know, bring your masks, you know, make sure that you're taking all those precautions. Now, you've also been doing this in an outdoor space, which our health officials have told us is one of the more safe places to, you know, interact with folks. Usually you've been in Wright Park in Tacoma the first time that you did it. It's looking like we have swung into the fall weather. What kind of other kinds of you know, plans do you have in case it's a little bit wet and gross in the park?
Yeah, definitely. So we definitely understand that the rain is right now a contributing factor on where we pick to do it. But this is Washingtonian, so we cannot be afraid of the rain. It won't melt us. We have bought, you know, canopy tents. Most of our vendors have canopy tents. But hopefully here in the future, COVID clears up and we can actually go ahead and speak with the Tacoma Dome or one of these stadiums to allow us to do it there. If not, we're looking for like parking garages, somewhere that actually has cover. Ideally, we found a few parking garages. We won't release who they are because that might, you know, conflict with us when we want to do a protest there. But it's looking like if we do one next month, it's going to be in a parking garage. So we'll be fully covered and still be outside. So hopefully the air circulation will help the fact from COVID. We place every table 6 feet apart. We ask that everybody have masks. And we ask that no more than 5 people be at a table at a time. So same ideal when you go to a restaurant, no more than 5 at that table. And also in the grocery store, you know how they have the 6 feet apart. Same with we ask them to follow the same with the lines as that. For that as well.
Gotcha. Now, Erin, you characterize your group as a group of young-minded individuals. What advice do you have for young folks that are interested in and allied with your cause?
I'm telling them, you know, come join us. Come join the new generation 2.0. We are pretty much a young group. I'm only 24 years old. We do have older people in the group, of course, but this group is specifically for these young people who feel that these other groups, their ideas aren't aligning. I always like to tell people to do things with a little bit of soul and a little bit of music and food. So that's what set us different from other organizations or older organizations. That's kind of what gave us like a new feel. Where we want young kids. We want people who think outside of the box, who don't think normal, who don't have nowhere to fit in. We'll be that family you can fit in with.
And do you have any advice for maybe not so young folks, but similarly minded folks that are interested and allied with your cause?
Oh, yeah. We don't discriminate against age, race, or gender. We accept everybody for how they are and who they are. So even if you're an older person and you like what we're saying, because sometimes you can be old but have a young soul, you could have some advice for us. You can know a little bit more than what we know. So I'm always looking to my elders and older mentors for advice. So if you are out there and you like what we do, you know, we encourage you to get involved in some of these conversations, because I know some of the older folks can't physically be on the streets, but they could be at home behind the scenes in some conversations, and they might have a lot of information that we need. So we're asking for them to, you know, let us soak it all up.
Awesome. So how can folks learn more about New Generation 2.0 or get in touch with you either to offer their wisdom or to be one of the folks to soak up more of that wisdom?
They can follow us on Facebook, or they can add our Facebook page called The New Generation 2.0. We're a Facebook group. We also have a Facebook page, so they can like our Facebook page and then actually physically join our Facebook group. Or they can give me a call at 206-476-1979, and I'd be happy to chat, or also send me a text message. Yeah.
Erin, anything else that you would like to share with KTQA listeners?
I'd like to say that the New Generation 2.0 is a community group, and we're here to stay here in Tacoma. We will bring you a youth center. We are asking that they defund the police by 50%, and it looks like they are going to. So we're just pushing for equality and to end police brutality and to let Tacoma know that Black people are here, and we want you to come be a part of our culture.
Thank you, Erin, for joining me. Erin Sarvis is the founder of the New Generation 2.0. A group here in Tacoma of young-minded individuals dedicated to improving our community, fighting to end police brutality, and using their voices to raise awareness of causes that affect the African-American community here in Tacoma. Thank you so much, Erin.
Thank you.
You can dial 311 for the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, or you can call or text us at 253-330-8821. See you on Monday.
KTQA LP 95.3, Tacoma.